Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome to the Wrestling Inc. podcast.
Sirs, this is very much third date music. What is
welcome to Wrestling Inc.? I'm trying to liven it up. It was a pre-taped SmackDown tonight.
Pre-taped spoilers. Thanks a lot.
Pre-taped. Glenn. Pre-taped. Wrestling
This is like it's totally bad all over again. This is, it's like that forced soul, man. Ugh.
Yes. Welcome to the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein. This is Flobo Voice, and it's a pre-taped wrestling show. It's pre-taped.
Give it up, pre-taped. It's live to me, damn it.
I'm trying to think about this because you can... Okay, here's the difference. All television is pre-recorded.
Right.
We watch narrative, right? But they don't do it in front of an audience, so you watch it because you're experiencing it for the first time.
Right.
The spoilers aren't out there. They kind of guard the twists and turns to keep you interested. Because if you knew, if you knew this is what was going to happen, would you tune in? Presumed Innocent on Apple just ran. If you knew in episode one who the killer was, would you stick through all 8 episodes to be mildly disappointed when they revealed the big spoiler twist?
So if you're asking me personally, I do. I cannot be spoiled because I think if the show was good enough, then you should be able to watch it multiple times. But this is like pre-taping the Mets game and knowing what happens when and still having to watch it, you know? And I have standards, as you can tell here.
And WWE in the past has actually found some ways to make a pre-taped show a little rewarding. They would have some backstage segments. They would have some promos. They might have some news, something the live audience didn't see. So that way, when those of us are watching at home, we go, okay, we didn't read the spoilers about this. We didn't know. And what I've argued for years on the show is if there's a pre-taped SmackDown, it's usually SmackDown, they pre-tape, not Raw. If something amazing happens or there's a great match, it could work in your favor. If someone's like, oh my God, Shinsuke and, you know, Baron Corbin put on match of the year. Can't wait for that to air on TV. That can help you. But most of the time you hear about these matches and people are like, yeah, it was okay. Or this is who won, but people don't say much more. And right. The fact that they centered tonight, like an hour of tonight around a gauntlet match, where, by the way, you could have guessed the outcome of this, but knowing that the Bloodline was going to advance to take on DIY at SummerSlam for the tag team titles, kind of killed the suspense of the Gauntlet match, because if I was watching this for the first time, and I've had a moment, Flobo, where I was like, man, Street Profits are cooking. They got this. And I was like, oh, no, wait. I read the spoilers. Like, I felt dumb for suspending disbelief.
I think the Street Profits are due. You know what? I hadn't had the Bloodline winning because I did not realize it was spoilers until like very late. I'm a little slow on the take. I actually had a comedy team like Pretty Deadly. And I thought feeding DIY was actually more important. But now the Bloodline did win that. I'm like, oh, yeah. Why wouldn't they win this? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's fine. It's just that, look, you're all here tonight. You're watching the podcast. You could have been anywhere in the world tonight, but you're here with us. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing. But SmackDown tonight was not must-watch television.
Right. So if you're doing a pre-tape talking about rewarding people, if it really was like one of those IC title matches back when they had those things, or something along the lines of like a grudge match that was coming to a head. Yeah. The problem with Gauntlet matches is that, you know, you can basically tune out for 5, 10, 25 minutes and then get to see how it really truly ends. So it kind of just feels like a really long tag match that no one's really asking for. But I will say this, though. Recently, the pre-tape shows are being aired out of order. So I guess that's the fun part, right? It's seeing the spoiler list of how it's recorded. Because you can't do a three-hour Raw, right? That would be too much. So having things out of order, having them like put together like a jigsaw puzzle, I guess that's the benefit of watching a
pre-tape. Kind of neat. So, sure. Yeah. And I'm not to say there wasn't some good wrestling tonight. There was some stuff that I like. But for instance, we're gonna get into it and run this down. We're going to talk about some news, though. Because the news, quite frankly, is more interesting this week than what happened on SmackDown. And we like you and respect your time. But LA Knight versus Santos Escobar. Oh, kind of fun side quest, except I already read that Logan Paul is going to show up at the end and beat up LA Knight.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of like I was watching this match and I was going, oh, I'm not going to get invested in this. Because this isn't a side quest. This is like a little exhibition just to have Logan show up and build Logan versus LA Knight more.
I feel like if this was like one of those pre-tape shows, like before Crown Jewel or New Year's Day, you would have to be forced to have a change or a long match or a five-star match. But I think we all know what we're getting into. The group is in Osaka. It's the Olympics. No one's really watching SmackDown anyway. You're on the end of your contract. It's okay to punt.
Yeah. But by the way, Bayley is going to be facing or did face Meiko Satomura in Japan this evening. Mm-hmm. A lot of us would have really liked to have seen that match.
Yeah, well, too bad. Get over yourselves.
They could have easily. And by the way, the live crowd last week already got to watch a SmackDown. All this tonight was bonus. They got on top of that. They could have easily said live from Japan, it's Bayley versus Meiko Satomura in Japan for the Women's Championship. That would have been awesome.
I think it would have been. I think there was a time where they were experimenting with that, with Smackvilles and Beats from the East. But that's a long gone era.
Yeah, I'm just like, that disappoints me because, or you know, I would have even liked to have seen more. We've seen great stuff on social media about how awesome the Japanese crowds have been.
I would say this, though, in defense of the E, and that is, as far as if you're just a mainland Raw SmackDown watcher or a SmackDown watcher, it would be a case of who is Meiko Satomura, which I understand sounds egregious, but I mean, you're on the bigger show, so you got to assume you're the most casual fans if you weren't going to do that.
I mean, 2 million people watch SmackDown. Each week, 2 million and change. I would argue that live crowds are a little different, but I would argue that television-wise, week in and week out, since that rating is so consistent, WWE actually doesn't have casual fans who watch TV. They have casual fans that might watch PLEs or go to live events, but the way that live audience is almost the exact same number week in and week out, what's casual about that?
Fair. Well, I guess you're right. I was just trying to be devil's advocate.
I'm just putting it out there.
Put it out there.
Being provocative, getting the people going. let's talk about what's going on in the news before
top we news story more. Today. My mom and dad are celebrating the 49th wedding anniversary. What's up, mom and dad? Woo! No, okay. In seriousness, the top story this week is about a certain meetings a head honcho that WWE had with the mayor of City of London, possibly bringing WrestleMania across the pond. Now, we know that there's always been a rumbling about having that event in Saudi Arabia. You know, Indiana's put their chips in to host WrestleMania in the future, but I think as long as it's been WrestleMania, there's always been talk about bringing it to Wembley. Can you imagine that, Glenn? WrestleMania in jolly old England?
I think it's good. It's funny that AEW would be the exterior force that would actually prompt that progress to move forward. Where WWE's like, ooh, maybe we got to one up this. But you know, I was thinking about this earlier today. There are venues slightly over 100,000 attendance capacity in the US. There's like 10 of them. I looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they want the record, if they want to take the crown, as it were, they could do that in Michigan, Texas, Pennsylvania.
Michigan? Did we not learn from Philadelphia this year? No more winter places.
Yeah. I go to Ann Arbor in the summer. It's lovely.
Yeah.
Nice breeze off the lake. But no, I think London would be interesting. Start time. Yeah. I mean, it'll be an early WrestleMania. It'll be a WrestleMania that starts
2 p.m. Eastern, I would think.
Yeah. I was going to say noon, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see if it happens. Why did they give the mayor of London such a tiny belt?
You know, for modesty's sake, I have no idea.
You know, WWE is on fire right now, and they're everywhere.
I'm living under a rock. I have no idea. I'm sorry. Look, I understand tribalism, but Triple H should have stopped Papa H. I'm like, look, man, I know you can't miss, but you're going to miss on this one. No, let me do this. If you're under a rock. I'm like, oh.
No, I'm in favor of it. I think there'll be a lot of salty U.S. fans, but I do think the international audience has been so big for WWE. I think they can pull it off.
I just don't. Okay, I like the idea of a PLE in England. I'm not against necessarily WrestleMania, but I wonder why WrestleMania specifically, especially now as it seems these events are so big on their own, that London can buy in at a lower price point for a non-special brand and still have the same economic impact that it would have had if not going the full tilt at WrestleMania, no?
I mean, I wonder how much it's going to cost them. And I wonder, is there a premium on that that makes WWE really want to do it?
Well, yeah, that's what
not a Saudi premium.
Right, right. I think that's what it was. It was, and I can only speculate here. This is not a news report today, so I'm going off the script of our Wrestling Inc. news desk. That the reason why London has balked in the past is that WWE started to ask host cities for bid packages like the Olympics or the Super Bowl. And so London and Manila are cities that don't need to do that necessarily. But if you think about it, if you are a town that is as big and as culturally vibrant as London, I think now it's time to do business.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting idea. We'll see what happens after Vegas next year. I mean, WWE, again, on fire right now.
Like that song we had.
Yes. I think they're really going to make some moves. I'm telling you, people think I'm crazy about this, but I'm telling you, next year they're going to announce some very bold things. And this is, I was going to say, it's not a prediction. It's a spoiler. No, I was going to say, this isn't based on facts. This is, let's call it informed speculation from someone who's, you know, worked in business for 34 years of his life and been around people in media and entertainment and whatnot.
That's definitely you.
I think we're going to see a Hall of Fame announcement next year. I think it's going to be in Vegas, maybe a partnership with a hotel. With that, we'll see the revival of a WWE restaurant. I think UFC Apex will become the TKO Performance Center West. Performance Center in Orlando will be the TKO Performance Center East. And I think they're going to formalize it with TNA. They're going to formalize some sort of on-paper relationship with TNA.
Everything makes sense, but why the restaurant? Like, it's failed twice to become the Nitro.
Because if they've got a partnership, so let's say they do a partnership and it's going to be with Caesars or MGM, because if you haven't paid attention to Las Vegas, those two hotels control like 90% of the strip.
Okay. Yes,
maybe they do some weird one-off with the Virgin hotels, but I doubt that. I think it'll be with Caesars or MGM, but I'm saying what they're going to do is they will establish like a little district. It'll be like a WWE district, and in that there'll be a Hall of Fame, there'll be a restaurant, there'll be, you know, it'll be like the world, there'll be a ring, I'm sure, there. Well, they'll have the capacity to present or broadcast from there.
Okay. Yeah,
it makes sense. And why will they do this, Flobo? Because a casino will subsidize it, because it'll bring in people, so WWE doesn't need to care if it's profitable on its own.
Yeah, you're not the first person to say that Vegas is basically going to that desert city strategy of becoming a sports entertainment hub. I get that. I'm with that all the time. Everything you said is totally true, totally plausible.
Two out of three of those things will come true next year.
I, you know what? I'm probably more, but why the restaurant? Like, am I really that hungry for a American Nightmare fritter? Like, do I really want a pretty deadly submarine sandwich? No, I'm fine.
They do things like this. Okay, maybe without the restaurant. Will that make you happy that they're going to set this all up and then not try and bilk an extra? No, because they're going to do it because if families go there, and pay $20 to walk through the Hall of Fame and look at, you know, like, I was going to say, like a thin foundation statue of the Undertaker. Oh. Like, if you're going there to look at that, they're going to say, you know what? You get a family of three that goes through there. We can get an extra $100 off each of them by serving them up, you know, the best there was, the best there is, and the best there ever will be milkshakes.
Stop. I will not consume anything with that guy's face on it. I refuse.
And the Goldberg.
Yeah, exactly.
The Goldberger.
The Goldberg and the Hitman Shake. That would be the best combination. Yeah, the Hitman Shake.
It'd be amazing, you know?
I'll go right into the crowd.
Yeah, and the American Frymares. You know?
I'm all about it. Put me on those.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like, Flobo, that's why, because for a very little extra expense, they can upsell everybody there $100 for a meal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's why. That's why the restaurant's a part of it.
I hate that idea, but I guess you're right.
You know?
Let's see what else is going on here.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Inc. Podcast, and a few years back, WWE sold a New Day-themed kit where people could make unicorn horn-shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles, even without the kit, and get top-tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We talked about Mako Satomura earlier. It looks like Mako Satomura, the final boss, the true final boss, you ask around the right circles, is on her retirement tour, as we just noted that she will have a match against Bayley for the WWE Championship live in Osaka, Japan. I think it's in Osaka or Sendai. No, it's in Osaka. But it seems that this could be the beginning of the end for her. After 20-plus years in the business, maybe the final swan song for Mako Satomura.
Yeah, which, again, I would have loved to have seen that match against Bayley tonight.
Well, it hasn't happened yet. It'll be 8 a.m. tomorrow, according to one of our...
I thought it was yesterday members. The challenge happened, so it was happening.
Was it yesterday? Yeah, let me know, chat. Did it already happen, or will it happen? That's the question.
Oh. But wouldn't you be excited after it happened, Flobo, if you could watch that from a restaurant live while eating an AJ Styles phenomenal Philly cheesesteak?
I do not want any of these co-branded consumables, but the match itself would slap.
Some Ric Flair's Woo Wings.
No, I don't need it. I don't want it. The Nitro Grill sucked. I have a cup from WWF New York. That was a time back with frosted tips and like jelly heels. It was just put in the past.
The Finn Balor Demon Burger.
Okay, that might slap. They're very spicy, yeah. you know, black buns. Did the black buns happen? The sweet buns?
Yeah. Lita's moonsault mozzarella sticks. I'm telling you.
Stop.
Great. No, Mako, I mean, it's interesting she's on this retirement run. I think this match against Bayley was great. I think, that's the other thing, man. If she's going out, let's get, you know, they got to broadcast this stuff. They got to put it out on YouTube. We got to be able to see this.
Yeah. We'll see what Julian Floyd says in the chat there.
What's that? Oh, they also are on 7 a.m. Eastern time. Okay. But I thought it was yesterday that the challenge happened.
Now you got people doing food puns in the chat. Thanks a lot, Dylan. Thanks a lot, everyone. Street Profit Spaghetti. Finn Balor Burger tastes too sweet.
No, come on. Booker T's Spinneroonie Spaghetti.
Would you stop? Can we move on to something more serious? We're journalists here.
Twisted Bliss Brownies? I mean, come on.
That sounds like they're special brownies. That totally sounds like they're spiked with something. It is legal, by the way. Elsewhere, and lastly, this whole idea about CM Punk. Originally, there was a reported that it was going to be kind of a short-term deal of him coming across from Jacksonville to Orlando or Stanford, but it seems that CM Punk has signed a 3-year deal, and it's going to be around for quite a while, and definitely is getting some favor in the backstage areas for his nice, workable personality and attitude, but that's not enough for Drew McIntyre, because he's taking this feud with CM Punk and spilling it out into the real world, posting a picture with Jungle Boy Jack Perry this week. What say you, Drew McIntyre, CM Punk?
I mean, I think Drew McIntyre is a great example of how you can do things beyond the wrestling ring to get over. You know, it doesn't matter what you do on TV. His social media game has been next level. And he is ascending due to what he's doing outside the ring that's informing what he's doing on TV. Now, I have a theory about this. Drew posted that photo that it's real. Cry Me a River with Jack Perry, and that photo was deleted. I don't think it was WWE that asked it to be deleted. I think it was Tony Khan that asked Jack Perry to have it deleted.
Either way, I'm over it. I hate it. I hated it. I didn't
hate
it. I didn't like it. And I understand that, you know, you're Drew McIntyre, you're the social media guy now. I feel like that crown goes from person to person. If you're a Dijak guy, if you're a Cardona guy, if you ever played WWE 2K GM mode, right? This feud is at a 5. It's like past the point of expiration. It's super stale. This beat was repeated 2 months ago. That's great.
I mean,
you got Jack Perry. Come on, man. You can't live up anymore without a match. You've done all the talking, Drew. You stole the man's bracelet. You made fun of him about the shirt. You made fun of him about his career. I want action. Stop doing this.
Okay, what if next he's posing with AJ Lee?
If he's posed with AJ Lee, that would actually make sense story-wise because he stole like the little bracelet thing. Mm-hmm. I don't like that either. I still want the match first. I'm already sold. I bought the tickets twice over. Not really, because I have Peacock, but I'm on board. You don't got to keep doing this, Drew. You got it. You're the man. Just beat him.
He is. He needs to win this match and then go on to launch his Future Shock fish and chips at the WWE restaurant. You think that'll outsell the pipe bomb pulled pork sandwich?
I don't. You tell me, Glenn. I guess my fears for Drew McIntyre is here is somebody that was the pandemic guy. People thought he was super stale, did this whole tweet thing. And it's funny because CM Punk has had this history of being this vagabond and kind of hard to work with. So you can make fun of the things he said. But after Punk, and it will be an after Punk, what be next for? Is he going to troll everybody online? Is he going to be, hey, Austin Theory, what happened to the egg? And not be funny again? Or will he be seen as really dumb?
Okay. You know what is still the best heel work that Drew McIntyre ever did? Was that segment with Heath Slater when Heath was like, yeah, I could use a couple bucks. And Drew threw the money on the ground and made him crawl for it. That was the biggest heel moment on WWE TV probably in the last 10 years. Easily the last five.
Top of the list.
It was really good. So I think Drew has got this extra gear that he can tap into. This is fun. But Drew can be vicious. Now he's got more of an audience for it.
Okay. And after Punk, after that whole feud is over, then what? Is he going to have to do that again? Did he work himself into a shoot and become the little teenage bully guy? That's the question I have.
I don't know. But CM Punk, this deal restructuring is very interesting. I mean, WWE, again, they're on fire right now. they want to make sure they've got that lockdown long term. Sure. And I think he's going to end up taking over NXT from HBK.
So that was actually reported. I don't see that coming, but you know what? If CM Punk wants to, but if he wants to stay, that option is definitely there. And I know I'm not knocking NXT because I cover it every week. But everyone can tell you that the same bookers can't book a wrestling show for more than 3 years without coming off as being stale. You should have some people rotate. And I mean that for AEW. I mean that for your local independent federation. You really can't have the same writing team. So if there is going to be a change of the guard for CM Punk, I would say give him a shot.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think it's an exciting time right now. But you know what the challenge is with all this is that WWE has great top of the card talent, both heels and baby faces. They've got a lot of great developing talent. They've got a problem in the mid card that there's not enough slots if they're trying. You know, like people need to ascend.
Right.
From the mid card. And then Drew's a great example of that. Drew, I love Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre was a mid card guy. He was a mid card champ even when he had the WWE championship. They were trying to get him to ascend to the top of the card, but because of the pandemic, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Drew has now ascended. More mid carders need to ascend because times are tough and developing talent. You know, this is the thing with the women's division right now. Look at these signings WWE is making. These aren't signings to go to NXT and be in developmental. They're signings to go to NXT and be NXT champions or to go right to the main roster. I think that they're planning ahead because we are seeing a generational shift. Sasha is gone from WWE. Becky is done as a full-timer in WWE. Charlotte is out from injury. When she ties her dad's record, how much longer is she going to want to go? Like, WWE is realizing that there is this generational shift in the women's division. But at the same time, you could say that they've got so much female talent. Again, it's the same problem. Not enough slots.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I would even take it one step further. I think the strategy here is to eliminate the mid-card.
Yeah,
I think you're going to have your people are going to be in title matches. And those are going to be, no matter what title that is, those are going to be the top of those divisions. And then you're going to have people fighting who aren't really featured as much. Like the LA Knights are kind of becoming rare. Like the Sami Zayns are becoming rare. You're seeing either you're pushed or you're not. Very binary.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? It's going to be very tough for fans of those talents. This is where it's going to get interesting. This is actually where TNA, as a pickup opportunity, business-wise, starts to make more sense. This is where having that fourth brand... This is where AEW in a weird way tried to shoot too high, too fast in building. I mean, because you could literally say we're going to do a promotion like, and they kind of did this, but they lost sight of it. Cause you have guys like Rusev, you have guys like Claudio, you have talent where it was like, man, they're really good, but they never got used to their fullest extent in WWE. We're going to take them and show that we're going to elevate them to the very top. They never focused on that. There is room. I don't know if it's MLW flush with their cash from the WWE settlement. I don't know if it's NWA, you know, Smashing Pumpkins has a new record coming out. That means more money for Papa Corgan to put into NWA.
Really? How many Smashing Pumpkin records are going to be sold that he's going to be rolling
in touring? It's weird to think about, though. It's weird to think about that every time you support Smashing Pumpkins, you're funding the National Wrestling Alliance.
Okay, that's okay. It's like it's a bad thing.
Well, maybe when Tyrus was champ, I would give it a second thought. But
fair enough.
Yeah, but no, I think it's an interesting time. There's an abundance of talent. But to your point, it's like, man, this is where stuff like WWE Speed is going to start to matter. This is where all these secondary and tertiary avenues are going to matter. Because if we end up in a company where there's a dozen superstars and everyone else is developmental, like, how does that change WWE programming?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big issue for the next generation. What that means, like for us, we are of a certain age. We're adults. We kind of got into the old guard, and we are going in and evolving with what it is now. But I worry, and I don't want to use worry because that sounds like it's. But I'm very conscious of what the next generation, the 5, 6, 7 year olds now, how they're going to consume wrestling and pass this down to their children.
Eventually. Now, you know what would be the boldest thing WWE could do?
Not that is restaurant, I hope.
No, is if they said, okay, so you've got your mega stars, and maybe there's like 4 of those active at any time. But man, if we could develop 36 men and women that could be at the level of like a Sami Zayn, that could be like where Drew is now, and then we could rotate this so week in and week out, I'm not seeing Grace Waller and Austin Theory every week. We could actually have the absence that makes the heart grow fonder by not overdoing it with the same core talents again and again. That, in my mind, is the powerful vision to where we can get a more diverse group of talent to where when I tune in every week, you know, week in and week out, I'm seeing maybe 10% overlap in performers. Maybe storylines and promos are happening, but I mean, we all are sick of seeing repetitive in-ring action.
Yeah. I know people have told me plenty of times that John Cena was the last classic WWE superstar, but the seeing how Sasha into Mercedes had pretty much been broken down as far as Mystique is the new blueprint, right? Here's somebody who was pretty much the last solo star I can think of. And then what do? You ice her out. You don't mention her for a year. You sign her opponent at her first major match back. I mean, there's definitely a different level of espionage there, but I do think it protects the brand later on. The show is the brand, not necessarily everyone else.
No, and to Danny's question, you're going to have storylines because what you're going to do, you can advance a storyline outside of the ring and the matches at the pay-per-view. Give me... Look, we've got PLEs every 3 to 4 weeks right now. Because again, WWE is on fire and they're everywhere. So with that, PLE to PLE, I don't want to see the same talents. It should be entirely different titles, entirely different talents and alternating PLEs. But you can keep storylines going on a weekly basis. You can have 2 minutes, a 2-minute segment that advances a storyline, whether it's a promo, an altercation. Drew McIntyre taking a picture with Jack Perry. You could do something every week that keeps people talking, keeps people invested, and makes you want to tune into that PLE to see how it resolves.
Yeah, I guess, but did Jack Perry sell the match for you? Or were you already on board?
I was like, man, okay, when I saw that, I was like, there's nothing left for Drew to do.
Yes, that's the point. You're doing it just to do it now.
Unless it's a weird twist, like the end of the movie, The Gift, not the one with Cate Blanchett, the one with Jason Bateman. That's the level Drew McIntyre would have to take this up to top the Jack Perry thing.
Well, can we talk about the actual show today? Because this whole thing in the chat with the menu items is getting me upset.
Hey, man, the live numbers keep going up, Flobo.
I hate it because they're giving me menu items. And I'm like,
people are
puns.
Here for Roman Reigns' tribal tacos.
Tribal tacos? Yeah. He's Samoan. What tacos are part of his tribe?
Oh no! Oh, actually, no. In
what the hell?
I picked up some Polynesian hot sauce when I was in Hawaii, and it's amazing. I'm eating on everything. Like I'm eating on tacos. It's so good.
Well, there you go.
Like it's sweet and spicy. It's great. Yeah. I mean, come on. You know?
No, I don't want to.
What? You don't want Kofi Kingston's Boom Boom Burrito?
I don't want nothing about that.
What about Rhea Ripley's Riptide Ramen?
I hate these ideas. I hate them all. What? This menu's gonna make it 20 pages. It'll be at Cheesecake Factory. It's gonna be a whole book of things.
Yeah. You can't even order. It'll be great. The Macho Man meatloaf. This will be good.
Why?
Okay. Anything else in the news?
I quit because I can't handle these puns. No, we're good today. We're good. Thanks so much to Wrestling Inc. Desk. If you want to know more about what's going on in the world of wrestling, WrestlingInc.com.
Yes. When they announced Liv Morgan's lettuce wraps, it'd be the first place Wrestling Inc.'s going to have the whole menu.
Why would she be the one with lettuce wraps?
Because she promotes the healthy option. Because it's living. She's living.
Oh, right.
Liv Morgan.
Right,
yeah.
Right, I got it.
Yeah, you only live once, and that's why you want to eat the living lettuce.
You mean tell me that Liv Morgan's has been a pun gimmick name this entire time, and I just realized that? Liv
Her
Morgan.
Twitter was, you only live once.
But Liv Morgan, I just got that. Yeah. That's dumb. That's dumb. Yeah. Not dumb. It's clever, but dumb.
Okay. Anyhow, let's talk about SmackDown. It's a pre-tape show. You already know what happened.
LA Knight. Good night, everybody.
LA Knight took on Santos Escobar. Which, again, I love that last week Santos Escobar was on screen backstage and they had to put a little name bug on the screen saying Santos Escobar when he showed up.
That's always a good sign. I mean, thanks. But at the same time, thanks for telling me who Terrence Crawford was because I wasn't a boxing person. But yeah, Santos, that's not a good sign, bro. Because 2 years ago, you were on the kickoff show for Mania 39. And now it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we have our nameplates here, Flo, but do you think they would know who we are if we didn't, you know?
No, I was called Alfred my first 4 months here, so I totally understand.
People tune to me and they're like, man, David Bixenspan like got a bit of a glow up.
Whoa, that guy? That's a deep cut.
No, I like Bix. I started with Bix. Originally, I was with Raj and Bix was originally 8 years ago when I was hosting this podcast. Wow. Yeah,
he called for my job one time, so I never had a chance to meet him.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that more off the air. So Santos versus LA Knight was actually a pretty good match. But yeah, Logan Paul showed up at the end and just started beating up LA Knight.
I wonder if it was a good idea having LA Knight featured on both weeks in the same crowd. Because that second one this week felt kind of flat. But maybe I'm just nitpicking, right?
We heard from Jade and Bianca. Did you see them on the Hot Ones Truth or Dab?
No.
Dude, so good. And also, if they split up, WWE should adopt this in kayfabe and use this is where the seeds were planted for them breaking up as a duo. Well, because they have to ask each other questions. If they don't want to answer the questions, they have to eat the hot wing. So it was like what do you think you're better at than me? What's my most annoying feature? You know, it was very fun to watch them and their chemistry was just off the charts.
Wow. We should do that. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, we should do that. Be good.
I'm afraid though.
But it was good. But no, hearing from them, calling out Isla and Alba, who are going to be defending their their women's tag team champions on championships on NXT. So they called them out, and they didn't appear. But then they blindsided them from behind. So
I guess they're heels again.
Yeah, they're losing these titles at SummerSlam.
You think so?
Isla and Alba. Yeah.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
I mean, Jade and Bianca are the most credible power duo in all of wrestling. I can't even think of a tag team that is as OP as they are.
Fair. But they're also in the weakest division in all of wrestling in North America.
Which is, again, why they're winning those titles.
Well, that's the reason why I think they shouldn't. Because once you give them the titles, there ain't nobody that can take them away from them.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the funny thing. WWE has so much women's talent, but they're not invested in the tag division. It's always been these makeshift. It's always largely been these makeshift tag teams.
Well, you're asking me. I'm a little biased, right? Because tag team wrestling is not my favorite expression, only because I can see the seams a bit more. But I do think the problem is that it's very hard to see who is a mid-card or formidable team that's a number two contender. You can't tell me who's a number two contender, then your division is pretty weak.
Yeah, it's they need to rebuild this. They need to strengthen this. I think that there have been some great tag teams in WWE. The women's division hasn't had many iconic tag teams. I mean, they'll be the one, you know, ultimately the reason why we see the Bella Twins twin sliders at the WWE restaurant. But there haven't been a lot of, well, because you get two of them, so they're twin spiders.
Right.
And one of them will have Brie cheese because that's the Brie mode.
You know what? What was Brie mode? Does anyone know? Like, she's done it a lot. Brie mode.
I have saved on my phone. Do you remember that SummerSlam match when Brie yelled that out?
And then
she goes, Brie mode. And the commentator goes, Brie mode. And there's a loop of it where it's perfect. It's like a song.
Yeah, I never got what that meant. Does that mean she hulked up or was
it? Yeah, it's like her hulking up.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Yeah. Brie mode.
But she's Brie. Wouldn't she be in Brie mode all the time?
She's going into Brie mode.
That doesn't make, but I don't get it. Let's say I'm in the Flobo zone. I'm Flobo. Yeah,
that's good. The Flobo zone.
That's dumb.
The Flobo zone's awesome.
I want out. It's like Planet Zaziac. I want out.
I think the Flobo zone, we need to work on that. We need to make that thing.
I'm okay. I'm totally fine.
You're now in the Flobo zone.
That is the worst idea ever. And I work with Jack Farmer. He has
Flobo zone.
That's terrible. Don't do it.
The Flobo zone.
Brie mode.
I'm going to have to watch that. That should be my ringtone.
Never got it. Props to her, though.
Yeah. But we need more tag teams. Chelsea and Piper, good. But even that kind of devolved into like, well, Chelsea has her thing and Piper's the muscle. Right. Kind of repeating the same thing a little bit with Tiffany Stratton and Nia, because if it works on one brand, they like to have an equivalent on the other.
I would compare Chelsea and Piper to Kayden and Katana, right? The ones that tend to lose a lot, but they are the established team.
Okay, wait a second. I would compare them on that basis. There is no other comparison to Jade and Katana Chance to Chelsea and Piper.
No, Kayden Carden. Like Kayden Carden and Katana Chance.
Oh, Katana. Sorry. Kayden Katana. But no, I wouldn't compare them because Kayden and Katana, what do we know about their characters? They like to have a good time.
Right.
They go to festivals.
They sure do.
That's up there with some of the thinnest characters ever assigned. Tony Storm in WWE. Her mom loved 80s music, so Tony Storm loves 80s music.
Okay. Sure. Who was Michelle McCool pre-Lay Cool? She had roller skates. That was it. I love to roll around. We all bought it.
Yeah. She's got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key.
I guess. What about original Tori? What was her thing?
I don't know. Back then it wasn't as important. Back then it was like, you're a female wrestler.
I give you that.
Because they didn't have as much of a division. Mm-hmm. You know? I don't know. Just a thought. Oh, that's an interesting idea Dylan Matthews has. If you bring up Eddie Thorpe, he could be Kayden and Katana's DJ.
I think that would work if there really was, I won't say like a Lucha Underground, but if it was like a more narrative version, I would love that. I would love them coming out, talking with them, hanging out, those vignettes, those promos. But you could imagine if it's WrestleMania, those guys come out to have a good time. You're like, all right, sweet entrance. You're not winning, though.
It's a very 2013 gimmick. They could feud with Funkasaurus and the Funkadactyls.
Dancing gimmicks have never gotten over.
Funkasaurus. Okay, wait a second. First off, Funkasaurus, Somebody Call My Mama, is one of the top five WWE theme songs of all time.
Because Ernest Cat Miller had it first. But if you're not talking about Alex Wright, no one has ever danced and gotten over. We're talking about DJ Gabriel. Remember him?
No Way Jose.
Yeah, it's like you cannot main event WrestleMania with a dancing gimmick. It's impossible.
Okay, we'll see. Fandango?
Did not main event WrestleMania, and it was the night after WrestleMania because the crowd was trolling him.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's talk about this gauntlet match for the to establish the new number one contenders for tag teams. We had Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews. Pretty Deadly, the OC, the Street Profits, Legado del Fantasma, and the Bloodline. And it seemed like Street Profits earned this until that pesky Bloodline came in at the very end and stole the new number one contendership.
Yeah.
And this was like an hour of the show.
It was.
Sure, what do you think about Baron and Baron and Apollo?
I actually like this in theory. So I'm not necessarily like an independent wrestling fan or that like snob, but I love C shows. I love Velocity. I love WWE CW because they kind of just put broken toys together. And Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews is a broken toys tag team. I like it. But at the same time, as big of an Apollo Crews fan I am, I think this is pretty much his last stand as far as getting a connection with the crowd. As much as I love Baron Corbin and he's going to be there for a long time, I think this may be a very turning point for him too. So it's kind of sad seeing these two together, even though I love the parts.
I don't know, man. He's gotten so much over before. This is the lightest gimmick that he's had since original Lone Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the constable. He's not bum ass. He's not the rich guy.
Happy,
yes. He's not burn the ships. He's not a wolf dog. He's just
burned. He kind of burns the ships on his way to the ring.
Yeah, it's just they're not letting him and Apollo show off their chemistry together. That's what helped with the Wolf Dogs. That him and Braun had great chemistry. In fact, as pointed out in the chat by Alicia, Baron and Apollo, like, they're kind of a support group for missing Braun Breaker.
Oh, man. We miss you. We miss you, big dog.
Yeah. But I think they can ascend, and one day we will have the Lone Wolf Wings and Cruiserweight Crepes on the WWE wrestling menu.
Do you think Apollo Crews would have a breakfast dish, you think?
Well, maybe an omelet, because he was loving breakfast when he was in NXT.
Right. Yeah, just writing his diary, looking in the future.
Yeah, being a vigilante.
What was that about, too?
I don't know. That's like, I would love to talk to the writing staff of NXT, and I have some questions.
Yeah. Yeah, like 2.0 had like surface questions, like why is Kyle O'Reilly hanging out with Von Wagner? But there was also other questions, like why is Tony Angelo a mafia boss in Orlando? Like, I really want to know why that was the case.
Do you remember that opening video? He was like, I'm in Chicago and I'm coming down to Orlando to stake, make my bones.
For the outfit. You're like, what outfit? What are you talking about? Who needs your help?
And I want to know, was it Tiffany Stratton's father or Tiffany Stratton's daddy originally?
I think they were going to give her a sugar daddy. I think okay. I was going to be like my daddy, but actually be old enough to be her father.
These are the things.
Mm-hmm.
The deep cuts. The things I want to know. The deep cuts.
Absolutely.
Does it feel like NXT's lightened up a little on story lately?
Absolutely. I feel like they have a roster influx after Stand and Deliver, and it's kind of like, yeah, we're going to hold Patton to Heatwave. We're going to hold Patton to Great American Bash. We're going to hold a Patton to War Games. It just feels like, and it's not in a bad way because it's still entertaining, but we don't have that thick storyline like the Carmelo trick anymore. We don't have the rampage of Dragunov or Braun Breaker anymore. We don't even have the tag team stuff.
Chase Hughes' big story moment this week was they got new shirts.
Chase Hughes needs to go. I think they're done.
I gotta do something. Okay, so Sean Spears is paired up with Brooks Jensen in NXT. If Sean Spears' middle name ends up being Sebastian, this is the most amazing long-term storytelling NXT has ever done.
You think they'll do that though?
Oh my, like when he turns on Brooks eventually and he's like, by the way, my middle name's Sebastian, like,
yeah, I like it. Ten.
Yeah.
But I still love NXT. I still watch it. I still enjoy it. But I was watching it this week and I was like, okay, great. These are all talents you can move to the main roster, give them a repackage. But before, I felt like a year ago, I wanted to see those characters in Raw.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, put these bodies in Raw, give them something else.
They're still doing character work. Like Tony D'Angelo this week, where they were just like, oh, we're going to get our popcorn and be ringside. Like they're featuring characters, but I'm not seeing deep stories with these characters right now.
Yeah. There was so much to do. But the thing is, okay, I'm off topic, obviously. No, you look at Obafemi, and he calls himself the ruler, and he hangs out on the top of the rafters. You can really lean into that and make him somebody who has people who he has to go through, or have decrees, or have him like these Gunter level kind of promos. But he just goes, yeah, you're not going to beat me. And you're like, come on. You're like 8'12", 500 pounds, bro. Like, throw your weight around.
I mean, it was a very light amount of storyline this week. It was good seeing the Rascals get that win in the main event. If they'd had balls, it would have been for the title.
They did not.
Yeah, they don't got that. Until NXT's got a financial interest in TNA, Rascals ain't winning those tag team championships.
Nope.
But that would be like, and that's kind of like a hybrid because of Wes. But if they did that, then I was going to say you believe that Joe Hendry could win the NXT championship. But would Jordan Grace could win the NXT? Like, that would be a good way to inject a huge suspension of disbelief possibility.
Yeah.
They should do that week 2 of Great American Bash. Have a rematch. Have Wes and Nash win those titles.
They should. I think the one problem I think I have with NXT now, there is no number one contenders. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, it just feels like, who's Roxanne fighting? Okay, I guess she's fighting her. Fine.
Yeah. A-Town Down tonight, back to SmackDown, pre-taped. A-Town Down Under called out Terrence Crawford, who was there last week. He gave Cody the cherry. He's a boxer. And he punched out Austin Theory tonight.
Yep.
Got a video of Cody Rhodes reflecting on becoming the Undisputed WWE Championship, putting over Solo in this promo, but man,
he has to,
but man, if Roman, this match makes zero sense if Roman does not show up at the end of SummerSlam.
It's not like he is, right? Because the Bloodline promo was like, if Roman's got a problem, you know where to find me.
He's either showing up at SummerSlam or the Friday after. I think he shows up at the end of SummerSlam and just stares, and then Friday we hear from him, or maybe 2 weeks later we hear from him. But, like, that's...
Here's a question. What do we want from Roman? I know there's been speculation for war games between an old bloodline and new bloodline, but Roman Reigns comes back and says what? I want my tribal chief thing back. He wasn't there for months. Is that as simple as that? Or are we going to get something, other elements of saying the family's back together, you guys aren't real family? Like, what's the deal? And where is the WWE champion in all this?
Okay, so here's Roman Reigns through Mania, in my mind. Roman shows up. Roman's disappointed. There's going to be a reckoning. We get some promos. Maybe he lays down a challenge. Maybe the Bloodline has a bad night. Maybe they don't win the tag team titles.
Mm-hmm.
Solo loses, and Roman's like, if you don't get gold, Solo, you've... tribal chief and nothing, yada yada, right? Solo somehow disappoints him. Maybe it sets up stakes for, let's say, like Bad Blood or something. So maybe Solo does well or disobeys Roman in some other way. Then we get the Bloodline Civil War for War Games, which makes sense. The Rock somehow injects himself, and we see a fracture with him and Roman, and that sets up Roman and the Rock for Mania.
I like everything you're saying. It makes sense. Money match sold. But I think the thing they're fighting off of has never been established to what the tribal chief does.
I understand.
I'm not sure of the stakes. All right, if Solo wins, then what? Is it like the invasion angle where WCW wins? Like, I don't know what happens if someone doesn't win, you know?
I mean, I think that, so you got to work backwards. Right. In all good storytelling for episodic television, they say figure out what you want your end to be and then work backwards from there. So the end is Roman versus the Rocket Mania.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want to get to. So there needs to be a series of events that leads up to that. And so we need the Roman and the Rock to fracture. That doesn't make sense till Survivor Series is the earliest because the Rock ain't coming back. The Rock should not be involved in what's currently going on with the Bloodline at all. And I think that Roman is going to have to be disappointed in Solo to set the gauntlet up to say like, hey man, this ain't the, what you're doing, this isn't the bloodline, this is the baby bloodline, this is the franchise. You want to prove yourself? Like when I was in charge of the bloodline, we were winning gold. I was the champion. The Usos were the tag team champions. Like you haven't got anything. So he lays this out for Solo, that Solo needs to accomplish this. Then when he doesn't, it's going to lead to Roman coming back to quote unquote, take what's his, bring Jimmy right. and Jay. Somehow the Rock gets involved, seemingly on Roman's side. Then when then Roman turns on the Rock to side with Solo,
right?
Jacob, then Roman and the Rock is like, oh shit. Cause then that really kicks up the stakes.
Okay. So I don't like the fantasy book, but here's a question. If that were to happen, mm-hmm. do we ignore the exchange the Rock had with Cody, giving him the thing and saying, I'll be seeing you real soon.
You could do that in tandem. That's the beauty of it. Is the Rock and Cody, you can keep that going. But when do you need to have that match? Now you could say we're going to have the Rock versus Cody at the Rumble. I would argue that's too soon. I think you need to keep the Rock out of the ring until Mania, and maybe the Rock beats Roman, which now could happen because Roman hasn't got a title. Maybe the Rock beats Roman and says, Cody, you're next. I'm coming for that championship. And that happens at the following SummerSlam, which is two nights. That could be huge.
The Rock is also 52. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to wait too long.
I know, but it's not. But that gets it all next year. And they're on Netflix, so they come back and they build that up. You know, you could do a lot with this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But Roman coming back, Paul, he's going to show up with Paul Heyman. Because Paul went to Roman. But this is interesting. I mean, the Bloodline going for the tag titles against DIY. Now, I would say the Bloodline favored to win those championships. But how does that advance the story if you're going to have Roman disappointed with Solo in the Bloodline? Having Tama Tonga and Tongaloa win those championships doesn't make a lick of sense. For Roman to come back and be upset with the job Solo has done.
Right. That's true. That's a good point.
You know, you kind of need them to lose.
But will they?
And you have to have four. You have to have four on four for Survivor Series. So maybe, why am I blanking on his name? The other new signing. Maybe when Roman comes back and
Hikaleo?
Yeah. Maybe Hikaleo sides with Jimmy and Jay and Roman to go against Jacob, Tama, Loa, and Solo.
And I got the Rock. I got him joining the Final Testament, so I'm sorry.
Okay. I mean, that could happen too. I thought the Final Testament, or not Final Testament, Judgment Day versus the Bloodline. I'm shocked we didn't get that Survivor Series War Games last year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That made all the sense in the world. That storyline made all the sense in the world, and WWE didn't care about it at all. Oh, because Sammy's an interesting. That okay, so if Roman comes back as a babyface, could you imagine if it's Roman, Jimmy, Jay, and Sammy as the Bloodline, the babyface Bloodline?
I can't imagine. That's why I hate it. That's why I hate it.
That would be...
Or I dislike it. It's just I hate too much.
That would be incredible if that's where they take the booking.
Stupid ska music.
It's like... It's... I can't determine if that's brilliant or if that is the worst idea. It's like either the best idea or the worst idea. So Ricky Zaldivar, props to you. That is either the best or the worst idea I've heard in some time.
Shout out to the wrench crew.
Ricky wins tonight with the fantasy booking. Anyhow, we also saw Andrade and Carmelo getting into it backstage.
Yeah.
Andrade accused Carmelo of missing.
Okay. There were allegations brought forth today on SmackDown that Carmelo missed. Yeah, exactly what happened. He did miss.
We then had Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax versus Meechan and Bayley. I love Tiffany Stratton backstage with the taped up briefcase.
Oh, yeah. I guess you probably just pointed out. I was like, it didn't really register. Makes sense.
That was a lot of fun.
It was.
I thought. But yeah, Tiffany and Nia won this match.
Poor Bailey.
It was good. I like seeing Meechan being treated well. She's really good, and she's always booked to lose.
Oh yeah, on two different brands. Special
team. I mean, it's a joke, but it's true. She has the most competitive losses in all of professional wrestling.
I agree with you 2,000%. And I know wrestling is predetermined, but wins matter. That's what people care about.
I know. Win. But there's a Meechan is never squashed.
Kids don't care about that. And wrestling is for kids. Let's be real. It's for kids to be like, oh man, Bret Hart, he felt cool. You got to win sometimes. Doesn't matter how competitive it is. You have to win sometimes for people to care about you.
She got a win technically last week.
Wow. You can imagine if you were a season ticket holder to a team and go, they play really well, but they lose every single game. Would you renew your tickets?
As a Vegas Thrill fan, I put a down payment on season tickets in volleyball.
Let's look at the Big Six. If you were an Aces season ticket holder and they lost every single game, would you renew?
Okay, let me tell you. Okay, so the Vegas Thrill, you have Berkeley Oakland, who we thought her name was Berkeley Oakland, and we were like, this is the best name ever. Because okay, Berkeley and Oakland are next. There was Berkeley Oakland, but still we call her Berkeley Oakland. She's amazing. She is like the Michael Jordan of the Las Vegas women's volleyball team. Like if they had an entire team of her, they would be the league champions.
That is different, Glenn.
The problem is they've got like four MVP players on a team of 12 players and the other eight ain't as good. So they pull it out and win some sets, but they fail to close it. So next year we did put a down payment. This is so full, but this is why your points are wrong about team-based sports.
No,
because you could say next year they're going to rebuild. They're going to get a better team. They're going to pick up some free agents, make some trades. That's why you have hope, because a losing team isn't a losing team every season.
I say that because when you have a certain level of semi-pro sports, there's other altruistic reasons to support. If you're paying say 10 grand for a seat at the Intuit Dome for the Raptors, for the Clippers, 25 grand on the wall, the Clippers, 75 grand on the floor, and they lose every single game, you're going to be like, well, they were competitive. Let me give it a shot next year.
Yeah, because no! Next year, because all they need to do is, I mean, and the Vegas Thrill season tickets, I think are going to set me back like a good $250 a seat.
Oh, 250. Look, the point I'm saying is Meechan is great. She's fantastic. And wrestling is predetermined, but you have to win at times. You just have to.
Remember,
you can't brag to your friends about a wrestler who always loses.
We thought this about Jinder Mahal and he became champion.
Hey, you know what? And I hate this about Jinder because he's a fantastic human being and he got a raw deal. But everyone has said on IWC, he's one of the worst of all time. And it's not his fault. It's because before he lost, his championship run was 6 months and he lost some more after that.
Slap an entrance theme.
Agreed.
His championship celebration was amazing.
I loved it.
Bad promos and character that were assigned to him.
Oh, look. It's like being in the friend zone. And I know I'm doing analogies all day here. Oh, but yeah. But I think about Kofi Kingston was the last one I saw who had a win-loss record that was terrible and people got behind him anyway. Every time you see someone doing a losing streak or just never getting wins or 50-50 booking, they're not special, man.
Well, you forget this. Jinder was in that match before he got the championship. I think he beat Sami Zayn. And when it was down to like Jinder versus Sami, who was going over the contender, it was like, oh my God, Sami's about to become the number one contender. And it was like, then Jinder won. And everyone was like, we did not see that coming.
I won't say the biggest Jinder fan. I'm like top 10% of the biggest Jinder fans of all time. So you're preaching to the choir. Yeah. But you ask the common wrestling fans, they remember making fun of Nakamura for being Asian, even though Jinder presents as an elder Asian person. They remember the shock of beating Randy Orton in the ring.
Randy Orton.
Orton. They remember unfortunately, the ill-timed India tour. Everyone said, oh, that's the only reason he achieved. And I remember Rock punking him out before he got released the second time. It's not his fault. The Bollywood boys were a nice part about them. They're amazing. But I guess what I'm saying is, even though Jinder was amazing, nobody invested into him because he lost all the time.
Love that theme song.
Agreed. It's nice. They're nice.
Yeah. So we closed tonight's show with a Bloodline promo. Solo, the tribal chief.
He's doing this
just looks like an outtake from last week.
Except this, he's doing this.
Roman better come back at SummerSlam. This cannot continue.
Yes, it can.
It cannot continue well.
I thought everyone was sick of Roman. I thought it was 4 years. It was boring. He needs to go elsewhere. And that's for Issa. Issa loved Roman.
Jacob Fatu solo would be amazing. Jacob Fatu, whenever he's on screen, he's the breakout star of this new bloodline. But they don't use him enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know. But anyway, that was SmackDown tonight. And man, look, we managed to talk for an hour. We thought we were going to be done with this soon.
Just me losing my voice and my sanity over menu items.
We came up with some good, good ideas. And I look forward to ordering the Vaudevillains Vintage Vino from the wine list at the new WWE restaurant.
You know what? I'll allow that. Because if the Vaudevillains would have something, it would be something with Vigors from back in 1920-something.
Yeah, the Shield's Justice Nachos, it'll be good.
You know what? Don't push it.
Some Undisputed Tacos?
We already had the Roman Tribal Chief Tacos. How many tacos are we having?
Wait, I mean, do you know how many different types of tacos are on the average menu of a place that serves tacos?
I'm just saying, this place serves everything, apparently. Like, this kitchen will go on forever.
It'll all just be microwaved and boiling back.
That is fair. Yeah, it's like Chili's.
It'll all just be reheated. Okay, there you go. Flobos and Flobo Boys. I'm Matt Clever Rubenstein. Hey, everybody. Have a great weekend. Jack is back Monday to cover Raw. We'll catch you back next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Who's Jack?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.